Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to today's show. It's wonderful to know that we're going to spend another hour together and explore all sorts of mysteries. So we've got Rogier with us today. And Rogier, welcome again. We're always happy for the questions that you bring to the shows. And where would you like us to begin?
I would like to start with the experience that you had recently, which I think was the most incredible one you've had so far, where you actually, well, what you refer to so far as the essence of the mother, or at least the cosmos. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Oh, yes, my goodness. Well, my brothers and sisters, I have been sent through time and space when there was time and there was space by the infinite mother of all existence, whom I've been serving in this capacity since February of 2005, when the ascension began. Recent months, Mother has sent me into places where I have never conceivably could have gone to before. Places that lay outside of the cosmos, places where life originated from. But wherever I went, I found trauma from the fall. I found density. And remember this, I'm traveling into areas of mother's being. The density meant that it had the old patterns that we had at the very beginning of existence before experiential wisdom and knowledge evolved life. Always, I came out of there with phlegm in my lungs, nausea, pounding headaches. That's very indicative of going into density. This surprised me, because like yourselves, I have always found a deep belief in my heart that some place I would uncover that would feel like total perfection, that would feel like I'm home and I never want to leave. Mother has indicated that perfection does not mean a lack of growth. Perfection means that all the answers are there. All accumulated light is there. But it doesn't mean that all the questions have been asked. And so I have gone everywhere within the cosmos that Mother has sent me and never found a place where there wasn't change needed in order to make it whole. Then, Mother sent me last December of 2007, she sent me into Mind at Rest. And Mind at Rest is a thick, viscous, purple substance, if you will, that you can move into that lies around the cosmos. I have assumed that it just goes on forever. I had gone in there and had come out with some hyperventilation because I was so scared I couldn't find up or down or left or right, and I was afraid I'd get lost. And Mother said to me, how can you get lost within your own being? She was trying to teach me that each one of us is not just a consciousness superimposed over the whole cosmos, but that our consciousness as individuated beings extend outside the boundaries of the cosmos. And certainly it extended into Mind at Rest. Now, out there was a week or two ago, I was given the instruction by Mother to go into Mind at Rest and to keep moving, to see if there's another side. I kept moving and finally got to the other side of mind at rest and realized that what mind at rest really is but the membrane of the cosmic space in which all creation has taken place. It is the wall of the womb in which individuated life began. But the wall of the womb is not all there is. So I entered into a pure essence. It had a golden color. It was the place of the most utmost perfection, a place in which all answers lie. I've had to call it something, so I've called it the place of divine essence. The divine essence had nothing to fix. No upgrading to do, no healing to do, no awakening to do. Everything that was perfect was held in essence. Now, some of you might say, but we've always known that, so what's new? Well, actually, no, you haven't, because all you could know anything about was within the womb of creation. Let's think of the womb of creation as a bucket in the ocean. The ocean is, it goes on forever. At some point, it decides that an experiment is in order to obtain questions so that it knew what the purpose of those answers were. So a bucket is put into the ocean and its lid is closed. You're right, there is perfect divine essence inside the bucket. But that essence clusters into form and it becomes the divine mother that is here on earth, that infinite being. So it clusters into form. It then reflects its perfection outwards, like a movie being played on the screen. This is where we start to be formed as individuated beings. Within that essence, I ask the question, has individuation ever existed within this essence? And it said, no, essence is pure inclusivity. No individuation. The first place, even essence individuated into the mother, was in the bucket. And the bucket is where we were formed. So all you could know about is that underneath everything there is perfection within the mother, in the bucket. But outside the bucket lies this infinite essence and perfection. And the great, great news of this last week is that for the first time, the bucket's walls became permeable. It became able to communicate from inside the bucket to that which lies without. And that which out is without, for the first time, could see what was going on inside the bucket. So, you know, it's no wonder that when I looked at places of mother's being and essence and where life started to split into duality and things, that I found such a terrible feeling of abandonment. Because when that bucket was closed, the ocean couldn't see in and it couldn't even see what was outside. And it was like a child that was bringing itself up. But that is what I uncovered, an incredible discovery.
I am still wondering, though, especially because you said we couldn't have known anything before, like what if lies outside it, but what to those who would then say, well, we've always known that God is that which you cannot know and which is beyond comprehension and the formless and the perfect and things like that, couldn't they not be referring to this essence?
They could be referring to the essence. But the Toltecs have a saying, when confronted with the unknowable, and for that matter, the unknown, but in this instance, we can regard this topic, the mystery of the infinite being, the one being, as the unknowable. And it is the topic of an upcoming book, Windows into Eternity. to uncover the secrets of that infinite one being as it's been revealed. But the Toltecs have a saying that it is a mystery we cannot hope to solve, but it is our duty to try. And the reason for that is that there is a new purpose to life. Life before had the purpose of solving portions of the infinite being within this bucket that it didn't know whether it was being mirrored correctly as that is what I am, or whether it was simply that freedom of choice that its individuated beings had that was mirroring what it was not. And so when we say that illusion was solved in August of 2006, it finally figured out this is what I'm not, and this is therefore what I am. So I'm sorry, you asked what again?
Well, just how, let me just say this. No, I mean, just how to, I wouldn't say incorrect, but like what to say then to those who would draw parallels.
Yes.
Say, of course, God, we cannot know and perform.
Okay. And I said it's our duty to try. And here's why. Thank you. Keeping me on the straight and narrow. So, my brothers and sisters, there's a brand new purpose to life. And the purpose to life is that we live as fully as we can that which reflects the infinite. That infinite being and the infinite essence will reveal itself to us layer upon layer upon layer. That is what the purpose of the books are. They are revealing mysteries nobody ever could think of. As Mother revealed them to me, I automatically wrote them down from a place of total silence. Currently, 4 books are pouring through simultaneously. So what we have going is a revelation of the infinite being. And yes, it is a horizon that forever expands. But because we have been given the purpose of life as to the most fully we can reflect the perfection of the infinite, it is our duty to try and understand.
But it's not clear to me if this then is something different to what they were referring to or not.
They could only have known about the perfection of the essence that underlay all of these things, like Mother going into forgetfulness so that she could descend deeper into matter so she could bring her creations home into more real matter. All of those things underlying it was the perfection of essence in the bucket.
Right.
I am telling them what lies outside the bucket. And the greater we can stretch our perception, the more the side effect of power fills our being. The more power we have, the greater we can become in terms of illumination. They feed one another. So the more we can see, the more holiness we can accrue within us. That takes power, and the power comes from seeing things we could never see before. There's a very practical purpose for a light seeker in seeing these grand macrocosms.
Okay. I did also think that, so when you say the essence outside of the cosmos where life originated is actually the life of the mother, which originated from there, and then the rest came from that, from the mother.
Rogier, I will tell you that for the moment, that is the highest truth, but I can feel in my heart that to say that the mother originated from the essence is too simplistic. That there is a great mystery there waiting to reveal itself. It's just not time yet. There are some things we have to understand in between. So if you ask me that in a month, my answer will be different. But certainly, it is the place where life as individuated creatures began, in the bucket.
Yeah, okay, but I was saying life of the infinite being began outside of the bucket. Or
I'm saying that for the moment, the bucket and the ocean are one, a portion of the infinite clustered into forms in the bucket. But there's going to be a bigger answer.
Okay, now I have a question about that, but I'm wondering if it's too long for...
It possibly is, because you're right, we're right about at that break time. So why don't we hold it till right after?
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Fascinating topics this morning or this evening, depending on where in the world you are. And Ruchir, where do you want to go with this next?
Well, what always struck me about this, we've talked before about how life originated and how the, and trying to see how the infinite being, the mother, originated. But what always struck me about it is that it's kind of interesting when you take these debates about creationism, intelligent design on the one hand, and then on the other hand, things like Darwinism, which, of course, I mean, philosophies or science like Darwinism, which holds that there is no external guiding principle to the unfolding of life, that it's interesting if you look at the situation of the Infinite Mother, that while you could say that that's is this an idea about intelligent design, when you look at how she herself seems to have originated, it seems very much something which looks much more like the kind of Darwinistic worldview where, like you once said, she was like, it seemed to be much more sort of chance happening and nothing to guide her than anything really which came after.
Without a shadow of a doubt, that would be one of the hugest mistakes we can make to assume that. You can take nothing at face value when you work with something this magnificent and this large as the infinite being. So that haphazard growth occurred is beyond even what I want to answer. It's inconceivable.
But what I was referring to is where you said that she had to grow up and then go back and raise herself.
No, that's not really what I said. What I said is that there was a great feeling of abandonment. That was the very first time within the ocean that anything was separate. There must be an enormous pain of alienation, because I found this when I went into areas where mother's being began. And if you understand, you know, let's think of it as going back in time, but there isn't time. The moments are stacked on top of each other. But when I went back to those first moments, there was some massive shock that happened, and the shock was large enough that it virtually it cracked the essence inside the bucket. I have found trauma everywhere I went, because there is trauma associated with being forever. All you know is oneness, and suddenly there isn't oneness. It must be one of the most incredible traumas there can be. But I know that what looks like imperfection from this moment is going to turn out at some higher vision, maybe a year down the road, as the most perfect design. It always has, and it always does.
But wouldn't that be courtesy of this thing of experiential growth, where because it's taken back to the beginning and rewritten, so to speak, that we can get this perfection, but that certainly without that it would be kind of a, well, it's unclear what would be determining its unfolding.
It is unclear what would be determining its unfolding. To assume, however, that it was haphazardly designed would be a very large error.
Okay, well, it's just something we discussed, and you seem to agree that time, so that's all.
From where I stand, it has looked haphazard at times. Like, Mother, well, let's take a look at perhaps what it is that we're heading towards is this issue of the benefits of the bucket. Let's take a look at that. I asked Mother why, and this was after my discovery of going into essence, and that finally it was remembered there's life outside the bucket. I said to Mother, why is it that you have relied on outside sources, such as these sacred libraries that are opening, 129 of them, in countries and continents all around the world? Why is it that you relied on those libraries to have beings in it, records in it, objects in it, codes that were put into gemstones that have been gathered by the masters for Mother? Why is it that you relied on that versus your own being? And I said, did you not have the self-trust in the perfection of your being that you would remember things when you need to? And Mother said, how did I know what perfection was when this began? Because I had never experienced imperfection. Within the bucket, the experiencing of the imperfection, even if it was contrived, gave finally the understanding and appreciation of the infinite being of its own perfection. But you cannot know it if you don't know its opposite. If you're a candle in the sun, as we've pointed out before, you cannot know what light is because you've never seen anything other than that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure where to take here because I think it might actually be a bit too complex to try and work this one out on the radio, even though I think there is something there where going to see soon about this this point of how it originated or how the mother originated. But should we go on to the next one?
Yes.
All right. Well, in the previous show, I think it was the last one, it may have been the one before, but you were talking about the spiritual growth, and for example, when we learn to not identify with mind and to not identify with the body. And I was actually wondering, because basically of a question that we got about, it's how, when there is this primacy of the physical, on the one hand, how we should not identify with the body on the other.
Well, could you explain what you mean by primacy of the physical, please?
Well, it's something that you have said in terms of that the physical plane is really where everything else originates from rather than the other way around.
Oh, okay,
so
now I understand what you mean.
Physicality is where all new knowledge, etc., so, but yet at the same time it seems we should not identify with the physical.
We should absolutely identify the physical as part of our being, we should not limit ourselves to identifying with the physical. In other words, our consciousness spans all other physical manifestations. So everything is within us. Yet our physical body is not an accident. It is the absolute epicenter of that consciousness. So it needs to be honored as the epicenter. And that consciousness originated from the body outwards. Now, here there is one thing, though, that I need to confess right up front here, because there are pieces that are now for me not crystal clear since this essence was discovered as the origin of life within the bucket. I have been speaking about principles that are in the bucket. Example, I have said that everything originated from the physical, from the physical mother. As the microcosm of the macrocosm, man's consciousness as vast as the cosmos originated from their physical. But they're not only the physical. They are also all these other major fields that comprise everything that is. So everything in the bucket originated from the physical mother, and we likewise originated our consciousness as vast as the cosmos from the physical. However, there are things now that I don't understand, because did the physical mother in the bucket originate from the essence, which is non-physical, outside the bucket? And for that matter, is the essence outside the bucket, if you will, non-physical? Because it's all things. So there are things about what originated where that I am absolutely, at this point, not clear about. Because this is brand new information that has just begun. And now I can no longer tell you exactly where life originated from. The physical or the more etheric. And is essence more etheric? I don't know what it is. It's like nothing I've ever encountered.
Well, it would be interesting to...
Isn't it fascinating?
This one?
Oh, it's fascinating.
I always liked the idea that it all originated with physicality, contrary
to... And you know, Rogier, right now it looks like it didn't. My gut instinct is we're going to come full circle and find that it did. That is
okay,
my instinct.
But in terms of your instinct, suspect there is anything beyond this essence, or is that really the sort of the end of the road?
There is no end to the road. I cannot talk about ends of essence, but who says that the essence didn't in fact originate from the physical mother? Currently, when I ask that question, the answer is no. But there might be things that need to be put in place for that answer to be yes. That's why I know it's not today's answer.
So that's interesting then, because at one point, just looking at the formless, which we now know to be like the oceans of consciousness, for example, which then existed, we now know that basically that was all inside of the bucket of the cosmos, so to speak. So in that case, the formless did originate from the form.
Yes, exactly. Because, see, everything in the bucket was but a reflection of the actual mother. You know, so did the actual mother then originate from the essence? Right now that answer is yes. But I can always feel when I have the cat by the tail. And in this instance, I have the cat by the tail. So let's have a quick break and we'll come back. And if you'll get some good questions ready for us, Rogier.
Brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse, Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. Albion continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back with us, and we hope you've enjoyed what we've discussed so far. And you'll hear, what would you want to go to next?
The next topic is actually based upon a question which we received through the email, and let's see what it came down to really is why, well, first of all, I think we need to define what the matrix, the idea, what it is, but how it comes that even though the old matrix is technically dead, why it seems that we were still sort of primarily keeping it alive through, I think basically the lives that we live or the choices that we make, but how it is then basically this issue of old versus new matrix and when we're really going to see this change, and at the same time what we're still doing that's preventing this change from being visible.
Think of matrices as Russian dolls. There isn't one matrix. For if all matrices were gone, sorry, I think the word is matrices, if all of those were gone, everything would disassemble into chaos. There is a stage play going on in the cosmos. The stage set and the parameters of the stage is in and of itself a matrix. So it's not that the matrix needs to be gone, it's which matrix. Because multiple matrices have already been removed. Where it is most profoundly visible is in the unseen realms. I mean, Mother writes something in the Book of Reality, the Book of Life, and immediately it changes everywhere. An example is, in one of my classes, my student said, is Archangel Michael still around? And I said, I have no idea because I haven't actually spoken to him since I think it was maybe 2007. So I said, I don't know if he's around. And if he is, if his job is still the same, which I very much doubt because his task was to separate light from undeveloped light or from the unknown and to protect chaos from spilling into light. Hence, he's always depicted with a sword that severs and also protects. But I said, I doubt that his task is the same. If his task isn't the same, you know, things might be very much different for Michael. So anyway, that night I went to find Michael. And I found him. I said, oh, Michael, I'm so glad I found you. And he said, who's Michael? And I said, well, you used to be Michael. You know, he had no idea what I was talking about because the realities in which he lived that particular role, Mother had entirely erased. So he gave me an entirely different name, and you know, if our listeners want to have that name, the place where they can email to is the Belvaspata website. The Master Jan that runs that website, I gave her, she was there with the experience, and so I gave her Archangel Michael's name. So she would be able to give you the name currently. He has a brand new name. He has a brand new function. And so you absolutely can still become his friend and still call him, but don't think because you were his friend 2 years ago that he will remember. So my brothers and sisters, it immediately changes for them. On Earth, we were created as microcosms of the macrocosm. And as such, we are given the ability to create. Very few beings can create the way humanity can. I used to spend a lot of time with became very dear friends off of the Andromedan ship, a tall woman and a man. And, you know, I've often told the experience of how we were taken on and off the ship for about a week, myself and four other women. And that at that end of time, for a few months, they walked with me and I put my finger on my forehead and they would immediately give me answers. And they're the ones that taught me about transformation, transfiguration, transmutation, and so forth. But the Andromedans have said it is absolutely astounding to them that we can create the hologram reality, the matrix that we do in our life. They say they have to use advanced technology, and they cannot do it half as well as man can with his thoughts and his mind. So because we were created to be creators, we have been keeping with incorrect thoughts and feelings pockets of old matrices in place, such as pieces of wars and so forth. You know, had the matrix of war not been removed, we would by now have had such a massive world war. It was removed. But as long as we look at war movies and violence on the screen as entertaining, our reality is going to provide such entertainment, if you will, which is a very macabre way of where people are dying, for our viewing pleasure. We've got to live our truth. We've got to change our life, not just our perception. And if we do not, we keep it in place.
Okay, and why do you think this is still somehow regarded as entertaining?
If people do not live in the silence of the mind, they are going to require the belief systems to tell them how to be. When you're in the silence of the mind, you are in total surrender to life. When you have a dialogue, you are in resistance to life. Dialogue arises as a result of resistance to life and pulls us out of innocence and out of the moment into the next or past moments. Now, if we resist life, we're looking at what isn't. You know, there are two types of people in the world. There are those that keep pointing out the problems, that keep pointing out what isn't, and there are those who are trying to find what is. And so, if we keep looking at what isn't and resisting life, you know, to find out how to be, we rely on belief systems. Belief systems, you know, advocate that it's brave or it's manly and so forth, or it's tough, you know, be a man. We have little kids, poor little boys are being taught these horrible mantras of life, which is just not true. It's belief systems. Belief systems could program us to find it acceptable. Not removing those belief systems, we would have no reason to feel in our hearts that it's otherwise, because the heart can only truly feel in the presence of the silence of the mind. And that is the first reason. The second reason is lack of awareness. Awareness requires that we walk through life the way a soldier would walk through a minefield and the way a discoverer would find diamonds lying on the surface of the ground. Some places on Earth, like in Southwest Africa, Namibia, they're lying on top of the ground. So how do you walk through an area like that? With the utmost awareness. Because any moment there could be a diamond right in front of you, and if you hurry through, you don't see it. Our moments are filled with diamonds. Everywhere there is ample evidence of the perfection, the changes, the ascension, the beauty of life, the face of the mother and the father, yet we hurry through it as though it is of no consequence. It is lack of awareness. When the small things in life can't bring us magnificent insights, we go to that which will penetrate our shell of unawareness. And unfortunately, the more we watch it, the more numbed we become, because it overrides our sensitive feelings to be watching horrible war crimes on a screen. You know, the more numb we become, the more we require the violence, because at least we feel something. The more aware we are to the beauty, the more we are aware to the what is happening in every single moment, the more we are able to feel what is appropriate and what's not. And appropriate, I mean life-enhancing. Because there's only one choice. Is it life-enhancing or isn't it? If it isn't, we shouldn't be there. We should value our consciousness more. We are not just some sort of a garbage can that we stuff anything in. It has to be carefully chosen, because we're building not some tavern, but a beautiful temple in our lives.
Okay, good answer. Should we go into the next one?
Let's take, we're a moment ahead or so, but let's just go on a break.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Well, we're in our final segment of today's show, and we're glad that you're with us. And where shall we go from here, Rogier?
This was a question I was asked last week by one of our very good Irish master friends, and I think it ties in with the previous subject of discussion. And he basically asked, in terms of New Jerusalem and the global stage, you know, he said, well, when are we going to see something happening, you know, some kind of shift going on. And I wasn't really sure what to say to him, partly because I thought maybe that he was maybe sort of missing the point, but maybe not. So I was wondering what you would say.
Well, there's a couple of answers to this, but the question is not a very good question. The question is more, when is he going to see it? Because, you know, if we don't ask the right question, we can not even hope to get the correct answer. There are huge and massive changes around us, in our lives, in our environment. Some are subtle, some are very, very profound. And either we are aware enough to notice it, or we are waiting for the physical to bump us over the head and say, here it is, look at me. In other words, we're waiting for the external to confirm something that's an internal process. So let's understand a little bit better what I'm saying. The city of Mother and Father, the New Jerusalem, when are we going to see it? The masters in my classes are moving back and forth and back and forth between the city and this reality. Some of them multiple times a day. There are architectural drawings that they've made. Some of them are in Colorado, some are up in Toronto, some are in Ireland. You know, we've got masters that have done beautiful drawings in Denmark, all over the place. They're the same drawings. They're drawing the same building. It's the same kind of architecture. They are describing the same hall with the 96 murals around it. The ceiling has been drawn very, very carefully. It's their corresponding in their accounts. So it is not some imagined event. They are seeing it. And in believing, because it's an internal process, they could be sitting in the office and all of a sudden they're not feeling like they're in the office. And there they are in front of Mother and Father's throne. She has been sending them on missions, and then they come back to the office. You know, there's maybe a last half an hour, but the point of the matter is they've been away for hours. And so they are experiencing it. And the reason is that they are not waiting for an external city to be manifested somehow by someone else. They are going back and forth, and each time they do, and they give validity to those, what to other people might seem like inner experiences, they are bridging realities one rung at a time. So, you know, the question, if somebody says, well, when is this going to manifest, really is, when are you going to make it manifest? That is more to the point. The other issue is, when are we going to see the changes? You know, the other thing is, when are you going to open your eyes? Because are you waiting for the media to actually give good news? Do we really expect that a movie on 2012 is going to tell us we've ascended instead? There's a hype out there in the media. Journalists are taught, find the bad news. That's the only thing that they seem to think that sells. And so they're very intent on finding whatever negativity they can, and it paints a very bad picture of life. Where are we going to hear that perhaps today 1 million people went into God consciousness? Who will tell us? So all you can do, you can observe the things that have not happened, major prophecies that have not happened, big California earthquakes, major riots, racialism rearing its ugly head again in America, all of these things. It hasn't happened. Famine, food shortages. We haven't had that to the extent that it's been prophesied. Do we only look for what, you know, should be? We don't look at what we've prevented. So there's that. Then there is another major miracle. This master has the option of living in the silence of the mind. You can take 100,000 people out there, out of a city. They don't have that option. That's a miracle. You're either going to see them and realize that it's a process that is done from the inside out, or we're going to fall back into the old trap that has existed for a very long time. And that is validation by external circumstances.
Well,
good question, Rogier.
Good answer. I'm glad you got that one out there, because I think that's,
yes.
I couldn't really put my finger on it, but it was like what to answer there, but now I see that it had to do with this sense of waiting for the physical to kind of confirm to us that there is some kind of change, because I do think the question was really geared. I think that was the hidden assumption in the question.
And you know, there's another piece to that, of this external-internal thing, and that is that we are part of the stage play. We're not the audience. So if every single one of us asked each day, how can I live today as though it is heaven on earth? If every one of us asked that, there would be no way that the glorious advent of Mother and Father's holy city, we call the New Jerusalem, that's referred to in the book of Revelation, which is in the New Testament, can be withheld. Because we would all be living at that level. That's the self-responsibility that a master should have.
Mm-hmm. And I do also notice this other tendency, which I wasn't sure how to deflate either, that to look at what's being prevented, and I know that so much has been prevented, and I know that you've told me things as well which you're not really feel like going because it serves no purpose in really talking about such icky stuff. But I know that there is this tendency to say, well, yeah, it hasn't happened, but it hasn't happened yet. So this idea that, sure, okay, so yes, we acknowledge that we're supposed to be deep in the middle of world war right now, according to old prophecies, but it hasn't happened, or a pole shift, so that means that it's still to come. I mean, what do you say to that kind of reasoning?
Well, there's a couple of answers to this, you know. The first thing is that I've already explained that for us to actually put any stock whatsoever in our calendars is very flawed perception. Now, I understand that the masses out there don't know this, so they're still expecting things to come. But at the same time, if we live a life of full responsibility and mastery, whatever is out there can be changed by changing it within. When we live in that place of mastery, defining ourselves not by what we've been, by what we are becoming, and we live from the silence of the balance that is connected to source within, we can change even the president by changing what is within. The more we go into the silence, the greater our influence that we can actually wield on the outer environment. My brothers and sisters, I do want to add something about the silence, because we only have about 3 minutes left of our show, but I wanted to add this. The silence of the mind is not a place of arrival either. It just becomes a trusted, eternal companion. We never again return to surface mind. Once out of the womb, you cannot go back into that birth canal. But silence of the mind as a point of arrival is like a drug. It's an avoidance of feeling emotions, because when you are only in silence of the mind, you have virtually no electromagnetic field around your body. Compasses just sort of spin. If they're close to your body, they'll just spin. And when you don't have an electromagnetic field, you cannot properly feel and interpret emotion. So many masters have used it as a tool to escape unpleasant emotions, stifling their growth and ending up in a whole new form of stagnation. Silence of the mind becomes avoidance to fully feeling and fully living. There is no shelter from living your life in fullness. So as you move into more advanced stages, you get to the point where your minds are fully engaged at all times. The mind that we call surface mind ceases to be electrical only. It becomes electromagnetic, meaning we go from thought to attitude. So we cease to have thought altogether. And but instead you end up with attitude as a substitute for thought. And so you have thoughts going on. You don't analyze at some point anymore because the analysis gives way to effortless knowing. Many of the answers I've given on the show today, I didn't know before. I don't have to. I just have to be silent, and my mouth will speak the truth. And then I can learn too. So it is not an end of everything. It's just the beginning of your godhood, because we attain it, granted, in the latter stages of human evolution, but it continues on and on forever. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to being with you one more time next week.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as a microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, beginning staying with A Life of Miracles, or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Almeen. Please join us again next week. Thank you.